welcome to your daily briefing, February the 2nd, 2017. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to lead us. Day by day, we are so grateful that in all things we can depend on you. As we pause in your presence today, we ask that you would continue to enlighten us concerning the events that occur around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our last few sessions, we've been taking a look at the interpretation of the phrase religious freedom as it applies to Catholicism and what they actually mean by that. And also, we, in our past sessions, have taken a look at what the evangelicals, the apostate Protestant movement, has also interpreted religious freedom to be. I'd like to take a look at a background to this interpretation of their freedom to carry their, to enforce their beliefs upon the rest of the world, which is what has always been and has not changed, even though there is not an active inquisition occurring today. There are other methods being used to arrive at the same conclusion. Now, on a few occasions and in times past, I have mentioned a book written by Charles Chiniquy. Actually, his full name is Charles Pascal Chiniquy. And a book that he wrote, one of his books, entitled 50 Years in the Church of Rome. Now, Charles Chiniquy was born in 1809 and he died in 1899. He's known for writing a number of books. Another book he's authored after 50 years in the Church of Rome is 40 Years in the Church of Christ, and that describes the Protestant period in his life. But in the book 50 Years in the Church of Rome, and you've heard me mention this before, which incidentally was copyrighted in 1886, he mentioned a meeting that was held in Buffalo, New York. And I'd like to read for you page 670 from that book, where they were the priests who were holding that meeting in Buffalo in the year 1852, were discussing what their plans were. Now, I've read this before on this program, but I believe it's important that I repeat it so that you get a feel for it. Now, let me give you the name of the book again. The book is entitled 50 Years in the Church of Rome. The author of the book is Charles Chiniquy, Charles Pascal Chiniquy, born 1809, and the book copyrighted in 1886. Here is page 670. This is what the priests have been saying. We are determined, like you, to take possession of the United States and rule them. But we cannot do that without actually secretly acting and with the utmost wisdom. If our plans are known, they will surely be defeated. What does a skillful general do when he wants to conquer a country? Does he scatter his soldiers over the farmlands and spend their time and energy in plowing the fields and sowing grain? No. He keeps them well united around his banners and marches at their head to the conquest of the strongholds, the rich and powerful cities. The farming countries then submit and become the price of his victory without moving a finger to subdue them. So it is with us. Silently and patiently, we must mass our Roman Catholics in the great cities of the United States, remembering that the vote of a poor journeyman, though he be covered with rags, has as much weight in the scale of power as the millionaire Astor, and that if we have two votes against his one, he will become as powerless as an oyster. Let us then multiply our votes. Let us call our poor but faithful Catholics from Ireland, from every corner of the world, and gather them into the very hearts of those proud citadels which the Yankees are so rapidly building under the names of Washington, New York, Boston, Chicago, Buffalo, Albany, Troy, Cincinnati, etc. under the shadows of those great cities, the Americans consider themselves as a giant and unconquerable race. They look upon the poor Irish Catholic people with supreme contempt as only fit to dig their canals, sweep their streets, and work in their kitchens. Let no one awake those sleeping lions today. Let us pray God that they may sleep and dream their sweet dreams a few years more. How sad will their awakening be when with our outnumbered votes we will turn them forever from every position of honor and power and profit. What will those hypocritical and godless sons and daughters of the fanatical Pilgrim Fathers say when not a single judge, not a single teacher, not a single policeman will be elected if he be not a devoted Irish Roman Catholic? What will those so-called giants think of their matchless shrewdness and ability when not a single senator or member of Congress will be chosen if he be not submitted to our Holy Father the Pope? What a sad figure those Protestant Yankees will cut when we will not only elect the president, but fill and command the armies, man the navies, and hold the keys of the public treasury. It will then be time for our faithful Irish people to give up their grog shops in order to become the judges and governors of the land. Then our poor and humble mechanics will leave their damp ditches and muddy streets to rule the cities in all their departments, from the stately mansion of Mayor of New York to the humble, though not less noble, position of teacher. Then, yes, then we will rule the United States and lay them at the feet of the Vicar of Jesus Christ, that he may put an end to their godless system of education and sweep away their impious laws of liberty of conscience, which are an insult to God and man. Now, of course, you've heard me read this before, and the reason why I'm reading this now is because there are elements of this that have already been put in place, as we have dealt with. So today, I'd like to, after having read that for you, continue to take a look at the interpretation of the phrase religious freedom. There is an article in the National Catholic Reporter, published on April the 12th, 2016. The writer of the article is Pat Perello, P-E-R-R-I-E-L-L-O, Perello. And the title of the article is Dramatic Distortion of the Meaning of Religious Freedom. Now, that's in the National Catholic Reporter, April the 12th, 2016. Here's the article. Religious freedom seems to be the new rallying cry for the political and religious right. A couple of disturbing articles in the Washington Post and politicalresearch.org take a look at what is being called dominionism and which is at the core of the Ted Cruz campaign for president. Among the ideas embraced in this understanding is the notion that the United States was founded as a Christian nation but has since fallen away from those ideals. Christianity must be restored. And that means like-minded Christians need to take control of or dominate the seven mountains of culture. Those mountains include government, religion, media, family, business, education, arts and entertainment. This dominant Christian force then needs to institute Old Testament biblical law and punishments. The articles point out that Ted Cruz's father, Rafael Cruz, is a traveling evangelist who has promoted such theology. When the younger Cruz speaks of religious freedom on the campaign trail, this is what he is talking about. Now let me pause here again to emphasize the fact that this is an evangelical / Catholic point of view of the terminology religious freedom. So what they're talking about really is enforcing a particular point of view and a belief system. Continuing the article, we are also seeing signs of this movement at the state level. Religious freedom laws are being passed. A total of 19 states have some form of the law, and new laws are being passed relative to the Supreme Court decisions on same-sex marriage. Now, let me say again, I'm reading from the National Catholic Reporter, published April the 12th, 2016. And the title is Dramatic Distortion of the Meaning of Religious Freedom. All right. Continuing. What is it that these laws are seeking to accomplish? The Ted Cruz understanding of religious freedom and the goals of these laws that are cropping up at the state level bear no resemblance to what the U.S. Constitution has said about religious freedom in the First Amendment. What Cruz and others in the movement are seeking to do is to carve out religious exemptions to the legal requirement of recognizing the civil equality of gays, lesbians, and others, even other Christians who disagree with them. In short, they are not seeking religious freedom. They are seeking the right to discriminate against any class of people that they disagree with. All right, now, I got to say this, let you know again, I'm reading from the National Catholic Reporter, and published on April the 12th, 2016. The writer of the article is Pat Perriello, P-E-R-R-I-E-L-L-O. The title of the article is Dramatic Distortion of the Meaning of Religious Freedom. All right, now, let's continue. Let's take the Mississippi law, which has just passed and signed into law, as an example. One thing that is clear is that it represents an overt effort to discriminate against individuals. The law essentially says that a business can put up a sign that says it refuses to serve gays or lesbians or even straight individuals it sees as living in sin. The North Carolina law has similar provisions. On a more subtle level, there is the effort of the Catholic Church to prevent any of their employees from receiving coverage for contraceptives. It is couched as a demand for the free practice of religion. But in fact, the goal is to deny coverage to hundreds of workers in hospitals, schools, etc. The Church has seriously overreached on this issue. They were given an accommodation, but they would rather fight. It is just plain silly to contend their religious freedom is violated if they have to let the government know that they are opposed to providing contraceptive coverage to their employees. Now the Supreme Court is offering a suggestion to avoid further court action. Will the Church take this opportunity, or have they joined the Dominionism bandwagon? Do they, too, want to install their own religious law in the United States of America? Now, I gotta pause again to tell you that this author is talking about the Catholic Church, but he's actually writing on the National Catholic Reporter website. April the 12th, 2016, Dramatic Distortion of the Meaning of Religious Freedom. So first, he describes what Ted Cruz and the Dominionists are doing. And now he's asking, does the Catholic Church also want to join the Dominionists in this matter? Continuing. This dramatic distortion of the meaning of religious freedom in this country also raises the question of who is the most dangerous presidential candidate campaigning today, Donald Trump or Ted Cruz? Now, what drew me to this article was the date of its publication and the last question that was asked. The date of the publication of the article is April the 12th, 2016, way before the resolution of the primaries and way before the resolution of the election, which was held on November the 8th. But notice that the writer of this article is very clear in his description of what the Dominionists believe. The Dominionists believe that they are seeking to carve out religious exemptions to the legal requirements of recognizing the civil equality of gays, lesbians, and others, even other Christians who disagree with them. In short, they are not seeking religious freedom. They are seeking the right to discriminate against any class of people that they disagree with. That's how he describes the Dominionists and Ted Cruz. Then he asks the question, does the Catholic Church want to join the Dominionists in this matter? Now that's very serious. And of course, in the article, he also describes some laws that have been signed in Mississippi and in North Carolina. And what's amazing about that law in Mississippi, it says, let's take the Mississippi law, which has just passed and signed into law. One thing that is clear is that it represents an overt effort to discriminate against individuals. The law essentially says that a business can put up a sign that says it refuses to serve gays or lesbians or even straight individuals it sees as living in sin. Now, this is a powerful, powerful thing. And, of course, you begin to understand the interpretation being made here clearly, that when the phrase religious liberty is used, it is not saying that everyone has the right to worship as they please, but rather these people who are using this terminology, the Dominionists and now the Church, the Catholic Church, are moving in the direction of isolating themselves and isolating those who disagree with them. And as if to emphasize the importance of this interpretation of religious freedom, another article in the Washington Post, published before the article we just read, published on February the 4th, 2016, and that article was written by John Fea, F-E-A, the Washington Post, February the 4th, 2016. The title of that article is Ted Cruz's Campaign is Fueled by a Dominionist Vision for America. Here's the article. Now that Ted Cruz has an Iowa victory under his belt, it is time to take a deeper look at his Christian approach to politics. What is his real vision for America? Cruz likes to talk about taking back or reclaiming the United States. What does he mean by this? Many Americans, Christians or otherwise, may find the answer to these questions disturbing. Cruz's shoe leather campaign in Iowa targeted the state's large number of evangelical Christians. But not all evangelicals are the same. Donald Trump appeals mostly to those connected with the Christian prosperity movement, a form of evangelicalism that celebrates the accumulation of wealth as a sign of God's blessing. Marco Rubio appeals to suburban, educated, middle and upper middle class evangelicals. These evangelicals normally avoid the Pentecostal prayer meetings of the prosperity crowd and change the channel when televangelists show up on their big screens. Cruz resonates with the evangelical culture wars. He mixes what New York Times columnist David Brooks describes as political brutalism with the belief that he is engaged in a fight with the devil for the soul of the nation. It is only a matter of time before Cruz assumes the role of the Old Testament prophet Elijah and tries to cast down fire from heaven to destroy the prophets of Baal who oppose his campaign. When Cruz wants to reclaim or restore America, he does not only have the Obama administration in mind. This agenda takes him much deeper into the American past. Cruz wants to restore the United States to what he believes is its original identity, a Christian nation. But before he can bring the country back to its Christian roots, Cruz needs to prove that Christian ideals were indeed important to the American founding. That is why he has David Barton on his side. For several decades, Barton has been a GOP activist with a political mission to make the United States a Christian nation again. He runs Keep the Promise, a multi-million dollar Cruz super PAC. He's one of Cruz's most trusted advisors. Barton is the founder and president of Wall Builders, a Christian ministry based in his hometown of Aledo, Texas. He writes books and hosts radio and television shows designed to convince evangelicals and anyone else who will listen that America was once a Christian nation and needs to be one again. but his work on the history of the American founding has been discredited by historians, many of whom are his fellow evangelicals. This does not seem to stop him. His 2012 book, The Jefferson Lies, Exposing the Myths You've Always Believed About Thomas Jefferson, was roundly condemned for its historical inaccuracies and its attempt to turn the third president of the United States into a member of the 20th century Christian right. Thomas Nelson, the book's publisher, pulled it from print. Through it all, Barton defended his portrayal of Jefferson. Earlier this year, the right-wing website WorldNet Daily republished the book, claiming that Thomas Nelson bowed to the gods of political correctness when he decided to stop publication. Barton's work is an important part of Cruz's larger theological and political campaign to take back America. If Barton can prove that the United States was once a Christian republic, then Cruz will have the historical argument he needs to sustain his narrative of American decline. Cruz wants Americans to believe the country has fallen away from its spiritual founding, and he, with God's help, is the man who can bring it back. Anyone who has watched Cruz on the stump knows that he often references the important role that his father, traveling evangelist Rafael Cruz, has played in his life. During a 2012 sermon at the New Beginnings Church in Bedford, Texas, Rafael Cruz described his son's political campaign as a direct fulfillment of biblical prophecy. The elder Cruz told the congregation that God would anoint Christian kings to preside over an end-time transfer of wealth from the wicked to the righteous. Notice that. Notice that now. Transfer of wealth from the wicked to the righteous. Of course, the righteous would be the rich. Continuing. After this sermon, Larry Hutch, the pastor of the New Beginnings, claimed Cruz's recent election to the U.S. Senate was a sign that he is one of these kings. According to his father and Hutch, Ted Cruz is anointed by God to help Christians in their effort to go to the marketplace and occupy the land and take dominion over it. Now, I'm going to stop here in this article, although I'm really drawn to continue here, but it is really a powerful article, and I would suggest that you take a look at it. What I'm going to do, I'm going to post this one on our website, timewatchministries.com. You can go to the Time Watch Daily, and you'll find the article there. What I will do is I will post both articles, the National Catholic Reporter article, Dramatic Distortion of the Meaning of Religious Freedom, and also the second article, the Washington Post, Ted Cruz Campaign is Fueled by a Dominionist Vision for America. Now, I'm hoping that you're able to understand now that when you hear these individuals talking about religious freedom, they're really not talking about religious freedom from the point of view of the constitutional interpretation, meaning that you have the right to worship or not worship according to your conscience, but rather they have the right to enforce their belief systems upon anyone. And you and I need to understand that this is exactly what is going to be coming down the pike. Are you ready? Do you know what it is you believe and why you believe it? If you don't, it is time to be ready. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue day by day to guide us in the path of righteousness so that we might see clearly those things which are coming to pass. We ask for your continued guidance. We ask for your continued protection in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, February the 2nd, 2018.